Tab, thanks for joining us on the show tonight. Let's first get into something you mentioned in the press conference this week, and you talked about the learning curve of Major League Soccer. Now, look, everybody knows your career in the league. Everybody knows your knowledge of the league. But what makes it different as a coach, you know, once you actually dive in that deep end?
Thank you for having me on. It's been, it's difficult at times, recognizing how games are right on top of each other, and how you know, there are moments that, regardless of how much you need wins, there are moments that you have to freshen up the roster to keep it going. And at times, I felt this year that we were so close. We were getting one tie and then another tie, and then the next game we would play really well and get another tie. And I felt like, man, I don't want to break this apart because we have a good thing going. And we're like right on the verge. We've deserved to win these games, and we're just going to get the win. And when we get the win, then you can move things around. And, looking back at it, maybe I should have moved things around anyway and looked more at the bigger picture rather than at the small window that we had at the time, because we felt like we were one win away from being right in the playoff hunt. And maybe I should have done it. If looking backwards now, if I had to do it again, maybe I would do that a little different.
Is it hard not to second guess yourself? Because, I mean, you make so many decisions. I mean, you're making decisions every day at training. You're making decisions in game, at a game. Is it hard not to? I mean, we all second guess things in life, but I mean, it's got to be difficult when you're making that many decisions.
Well, as a coach, the one thing you cannot do is let yourself be driven by results. I think that's what's important. And I know that that's how people outside of here will see it. But the bottom line is, if we come in here on, on a Monday, 2 days after the game, and we watch the video and we dissect the video and we go play by play and what we did well and what we didn't do well, and we decided that, hey, we played a hell of a game, and it really should have been a 3-0 game for us, and yet we tied it 1-1, or we tied it 0-0, we lost 2-1. I think we look at the game without the actual result. We look at what we're doing well and how we can continue to do that. And we look at the things that we're not doing as well, and we try to fix those. So we don't necessarily second guess ourselves, I think, as much as you would think, because I think most people outside of here would think, okay, well, you haven't won a game in 10 games. You got to be second guessing everything you do. And you do think a lot, but you have to be a lot more straightforward in terms of your analysis of what you're doing. You can't change things just for the sake of changing things if you're doing things well.
Tab Ramos joining us, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Sunday, they will take on Austin FC, road game up in Austin. Your staff, talk about the interaction with your staff and how you run things by each other. And obviously you've got guys with tremendous experience on this staff from all different areas. Just take us into that a little bit and checks and balances and how that information flow works and the hierarchy works. Cause I think that would be interested for the outside person looking in.
Well, I mean, I'll try to simplify as much as I can, because there's a lot of layers to all the different people that we have in here. I mean, we have about 35 people working in here every day that just work really for the first team. And so there's a lot going on from, from high performance to everything else that, the training room and doctors and everything else. So just the immediate staff in terms of, my assistant coaches, my goalkeeper coach, there's really not a lineup that I put together without running it by them and going through every player and all of us agreeing that this is what we need to go with and this is what's best for us. And at times, many times we disagree. And at times, many of those times, I change my mind, and many of those times I don't change my mind, and we just have a different perception of what we should be doing for that particular game. And this is a small thing, but it may be just one player or just one position or where a player may play. Does he play a little higher? Does he play a little lower? So those are the little things that you're looking at, depending on the opponent. But I think you always need that. I'm really grateful for the people I'm surrounded by here, because you know, we went through a really tough stretch this year, and it was one of the worst in MLS for anybody. And, you know, they say that you always get to know people in the worst moments. And I have to tell you, I mean, our staff couldn't have been any more together throughout the whole thing. We were all fighting in the same direction. We were all working as hard as we could work. There's not one guy that I could tell you in this building that I would walk out of here and that I could feel in the background, hey, you know what? This guy's not on board with what we're doing. There's not one person like that. And I'm really grateful for that. We have a great staff here.
So I look at you and you know, when I'd look down at the sidelines during a game, I'd go, wow, you know, I wonder what's going on in his mind. You know, obviously I played against you a couple times in 89 in those early leagues, and I remembered you as a young guy. And I remembered the one thing I always left those games with, because we had all heard about Todd Ramos, was, man, this guy is fiery. This guy wants to win. He's applied. This guy is so focused on winning and being successful. And that always stuck with me. How did you handle that during this time period of winless? You know, because I'm thinking you're going home. I know what you have inside of you when it comes to winning and competing. I'm just wondering, how did you manage that? Did you have to compartmentalize it? I mean, or am I just being a little bit too mumbo jumbo here?
No. I mean, I think you have something there, but I've always kind of been that way. Like really competitive. So I hate losing so much more than I love winning. And that makes it really difficult, because for me, winning is more of a relief, you know, and losing is just a complete like meltdown. Like I hate it, you know, I can't. And so it's been really difficult not winning, but I do know that this is part of, you know, this is why I've been coaching for 20 years now. And you have to, that's why you have to sit down. You have to be really calm after games, regardless of what just happened in the game, because no matter what you say after games is not your actual opinion of what you thought of the game until you go back and you actually watch the game again and you're cooled down and you see it all over again. I think it's for any coach, not just for me, but I think, you know, when you have to do a press conference after a game, I think your opinion of the game is not the same opinion that you will have 2 days later. There's no question.
Yeah, is that something that's, you know, kind of, you go back, you look at the game again, you see a lot of things you didn't see, and do you ever think back to some of the things you said in the press conference and said, wow, if I had come in after seeing this game again, I wouldn't have said that?
Oh, yeah, it happens. I wouldn't say that it happens a lot, because I have a little bit more experience, you know, over the last so many years, right? As a player, too, you always have to watch what you're saying. And you don't necessarily say exactly what you want to say every time. But yeah, there are times where I feel like, hey, you know what? I was a little bit too hard on the team, you know, and the team actually did really well. You know, if it's not for this post here, if it's not for that play there, that was pretty good. And so I can have, I think, a much better opinion when I sit in front of the team and we discuss. And this is one of the reasons I don't like speaking to the team after games. After games, all the players will tell you that I just kind of go away and they go away, because I want to be fair. I want to be fair. I don't want to let my emotions handle whatever it is that I have to say. And I feel like in order for me to do that, I have to really analyze the game, and I really have to analyze the players and make sure that I'm fair. And if I'm fair, then anything goes. I can say anything at that point because I believe that I'm fair. But I don't think I can be necessarily as fair as I want to be right after games.
So do you just kind of disappear and let them process it their own ways, and then you address it when you get back to training? Is that how it works?
I do. And normally you would do that. Although a lot of coaches like to bring everyone together after the game, whether it's a great win or a bad loss. I would only speak to the team if it's something really extreme. Like we just won something, or we won a huge game that we weren't expected to, and we need to come together and talk about it. Or we've just had a really bad loss. You know, you lost by 4 or 5 goals, and you want to keep the group together and you want to give them a little bit of encouragement before you go away. Those would be the only scenarios in which I feel like it's completely necessary to address the team right away. Other than that, I really don't feel it. Now, many coaches are different. Many coaches like to, and I don't see anything wrong with that either. I just think for me, in order for me to be as fair as possible. I need a little bit more time to process it.
Todd Bramos, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. You keep going back to the word fair, and I love seeing this, and I love hearing that. It, to me, it speaks to your integrity. Can it always be completely fair with your players?
Yeah, I think it can. I mean, is someone sometimes going to feel different? Is a player who's not playing not like me because he disagrees with me on the fact that he feels like he should be playing and I don't feel like he should because someone else is doing better? That can happen because we can all, you and I can have different opinions. But what I can tell you is that every decision that I make for this team comes with good intentions. There's always good intentions. So whether, you know, Darwin was playing at the beginning of the year or not, and now he's playing, none of that. I've never held a grudge for anything. Like, it's he's ready to go this week and he's our best player this week. And so this week he's going to play. And that's it. And I don't care about what happened before. So I feel like I come from a fair place. And again, players are going to disagree at times. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, my job is to select the best ones to win the game that we have coming up.
Tab, does a healthy locker room mean that there are some people that are not fully happy, in other words, with playing time and everything else? I would assume you would want that.
There are many guys here who are not happy because they're not playing. But, you know, just as we talked about the staff before, it goes the same with the locker room for these players. You know, I had a meeting today with Darwin Quintero and Fafa and Ruti and all of them together. And we just talked about, you know, the difficult time we went through this year when we didn't win for 16 games. And of course, many of those were ties, but it's not easy to be in the locker room when that's going on. And I gave them credit for that because they're veterans on the team and they're important people on the team. And the fact that we kept a great locker room with great people through that time and working hard, because it's not like everybody was just a nice guy and we were just showing up to lose games. You know, because you've watched every game, we fought for every minute of every game till the end. And I think for those guys that have done that, I think they deserve a lot of credit.
So we're talking to Todd Bramos here, ESPN 97.5 at Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So looking ahead to the rest of the season, I mean, what do you want out of these final games? And earlier in the week in your press conference, you talked about getting other people playing time. You know, you're in year two of a contract. We don't know who the new general manager is. As you mentioned during the week, you have a new owner that's getting his feet wet with the team and you know, gaining knowledge of the team in all levels. What do you want out of these final games, you yourself, from this team, these players, and how much of it is simply about trying to get results and how much of it is about assessment?
I think it's a little bit about both, because obviously we want to finish on a good note. The team has been playing well lately and hopefully we can continue to get results. But it also has to be that maybe I can find a little time for guys who haven't gotten much of an opportunity. And see if they can show. So I will do the best I can to do a little bit of both. But like I've always said from the beginning of when I arrived, players always have to earn playing time. And so I will not hand somebody playing time just because they haven't played. You know, I'll give you an example. Like I'll give you Alejandro Fuenmayor, for example. He's been working extremely hard to get minutes. I feel that other guys have done better, and this is the reason he's not playing. But the reason he has not played is not because he's not doing well in practice. It's just other guys are doing better than he is at the moment, in my opinion. And he may not agree with that. And I've had this conversation with him. So this is, you know, it's fine that it's out in the open because I like Alejandro a lot and I think he's a good player. And so maybe this is where an opportunity for him comes along.
When you look at your roster and you look at these games and you look, I watched them all. I've called almost all of them, you know, hit posts could be the difference, a chance that should have been taken, a mistake that's costly in a game that you've controlled and you should have gotten more out of. How do you correct that? Does that get corrected by improving the roster? Is that simple? And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but how do you correct those things? Because look, you take another 12 points, you're in a different place right now. And that's really only four games. And you know, you had a lot of these games that you were in. Now, Austin FC may say the same thing. They may say, right. Hey, you know what? We had four games. We turned those games around and took our chances. And you know, we'd be in a playoff spot. So how do you correct that? Is that personnel? What do you think at this moment?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that we have to assess at the end of the season and see how it ends and see how the players end the season and where they are. I mean, you know, Maxi hadn't scored a goal in 3 months, you know, basically, and now he scored. So now what if he, you know, for the rest of the season, he scores the remaining games and maybe he gets five more goals. I mean, you have to count that. That counts, you know, and so that changes a little bit your perception. So to have an opinion on what needs to happen after, it's hard to say because I'm not even sure at the moment without obviously a new general manager. I'm not even sure what direction we go. Right. And so it's difficult to say.
Tab Ramos joining us here. Really candid interview. This is great stuff. And we appreciate, by the way, Tab, everything all year long here. Your pipeline and communication to the fan base has been exceptional. And we appreciate it here on ESPN 97.5. You know, to that notion, you know, I have been on teams before where, you know, players are playing for a contract at the end. All of a sudden, they're pushing harder. You see it in training and all. Do you look at these final games here where, with all due respect, you're not making the playoffs differently than you do the meat of the schedule in the beginning of the year when you were, you know, in the middle third of the year where you were in the hunt for the playoffs? Does that have to be factored in any way? And that's not being disrespectful to anybody.
Yeah, no, I mean, it could be. Everything is on the table. You know, we're all professionals, so everything is on the table. But I would have to trust that the players are doing the best they can because they want to do the best they can. And I think whatever it is, whatever standards they're showing right now, that's the standard they'll be up against always. And so if, you know, if let's say, for example, someone's having a great final five games and they're killing it and they're the best player on the field, well, we're going to expect that same performance every game. So if the fact that you can renew a contract for a year or two, I mean, that's fine, but you can't go hide after that because whatever level you're at right now, that's the level you have to be always. That's going to be expected. That's the expectation every week.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo head coach joining us. I remember in the beginning of the year, once we got into a few games, a lot of our commentary on the games is, wow, you know, we really noticed the improved team shape. We really your ideas beginning to come through now that you brought some of your own players into it. Do you feel like, take the results out of it, do you feel like you've moved the project forward? Do you feel like your players have a better understanding of the way, you know, you wanted to play off the basis of a 4-3-3? And do you feel good about that? Do you feel like you've advanced that?
I feel like we've advanced so much in the club in general. Like I think we've done a lot, and that's not, you know, that's not to say that, you know, because of that I deserve to keep my job. But everywhere in here, this is a different club than the moment when I stepped in, and it's, I'm not solely responsible for that. We have, like I said, we have a great staff, and we have great people who believe in this club and who are loyal to this club, and who make every day coming to work here a great day to work and a great place to work. And that was not like that when I showed up. When I showed up, I did hear a lot of rumblings from players about how this club didn't care about them and how, you know, like all of these things that now you won't hear one player say, because every player that's here wants to be here and loves the club. And that's a big change, and you need that because that's a change in culture. And whether, you know, down the road, it's us that's here to continue that or someone else, I know that we've made a lot of changes here.
But I think a lot of credit has to go to you from your position, because you pushed for a lot of those things. And I'm sure you probably pushed for them before you put a pen to paper, I would think, because I know the spirit and competitor and the player that you were and the coach that you are. I would assume that you spearheaded that and you got a good response from people.
We, you know, it's funny when you open your doors to everybody, how all of a sudden you make, how all of a sudden the club becomes small. You know, before it used to be, okay, we have the first team at the corner of a building, we have the academy, and then we have a pre-professional area. And now, I mean, you can come up and you look at my board, and I'm looking at it right now. I have a list of all our under 23 team, our under 17s are all on my board. These are guys that we look at all the time. Like, this is one team. This morning, you know, yesterday after we finished our session, we had our U23 coach in here. We had a pre-professional coaches that are working with the special talents in here. We had Tony Virgil in this morning speaking about the guys that are going to leave the first team to play with our second team tomorrow. I mean, these are things that were not happening before, and this is normal now. And I think that's a big place to move forward.
When do we see the fruits of the labor of that? And I understand it's more difficult for you. You know, when you're winning, it's easier for coaches to give younger players opportunity, right? Seattle goes to Austin and plays, you know, four teenagers, right? It's easier when you're in that kind of a situation. It's not as easy for you. But when do you think the fruits of that labor may start to show up for Houston? Because, you know, for me to be in this city since 84 and to think that really Memo Rodriguez is really the one player that has had a real impact on the first team. Forget about people that just signed and didn't play much. That's tough for me to understand.
Yeah. I mean, and the answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's a proper answer in terms of timing. What I can tell you is that there's five or six players on their under 23s right now. And when we say under 23s, we include players all the way to 17, 16 years old. So it's really under 23s is all the special talents that we have here. We have, I believe, five or six players who have real potential to get to the first team. And whether that's, you know, in the next 6 months, 8 months, a year and a half, 2 years, that part I don't know. But I do know that the type of athlete that we're attracting now is very good. And we should, by the way, because there's no reason why Houston Dynamo FC's development program is not in the top three or four in the country.
Tab Ramos joining us here. One or two more questions, Tab, we'll wrap it up. Have you had any conversations as this is ongoing here with the new owner, Ted Siegel, about direction and things like that? How does that work now with a new owner in? Because I know the fans would be interested in that one.
No, I have not personally had any conversations. We talked back in July when he took over. But I haven't personally had any other conversations since.
Okay. And the last one, system-wise, you've gone into this three-back system. It reaped real benefits against Seattle. Tell us a little bit about that and how you came to that decision to do that, because you are pretty true and tried to a starting point of a 4-3-3.
Yeah, and that continues to be our default. So we continue to be a 4-3-3 team. But now that we can – I want to call it fluent, because we, you know, during the game, we can just, you know, we can switch from one to the other now with comfort and without missing a beat. And I think it's good that we can go to either what you would call a 3-4-3, or a 3-5-2, and all out of our 4-3-3, which is really, I don't want to make it sound too complicated and give myself more credit for throwing numbers out there, but that's the reality.
Why not? Everybody else does it.
No, I mean, soccer is a lot more simple than that.
I just listened to a podcast and I'm still trying to get grounded here. I don't know where I am. I was spinning after I listened. I walked into the wall a couple times.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're listening to a chemist or something, but yeah. No, I don't want to make it sound anything like that from me. I mean, it's just, the team is really grasping all the concepts of switching from one system to the next on the run and on the fly and in the game. And that's taken a while to get accomplished. But I think if you were to ask the players, they're pretty comfortable with that.
Tab, fascinating openness, fascinating interview. We thank you very much. I know the fans are going to really love this. I know we went a little bit long, but this is wonderful stuff for people to hear. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you for having me on, Glenn.